Today's shiur is Besecht Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Guf Amar Rav Sheshes. The primary subject that we're going to be learning about in today's shiur Mitzvah Hashem is the issue of Nikur. We know that Nikur means, as we've been learning in this whole perek, the Gir Hanasha has to be removed from the animal before, of course, we could eat the animal. As we're going to learn, chalev, forbidden fat, has to be removed from the animal before we could eat the animal. And the Gemara today's shiur is going to discuss the different areas that we have to do nikur. It's interesting to point out that most of the chalev, the raisa, most of where we have real questions of chalev and animal, is in the back half of the animal. And therefore the minig by Ashkenazic Jews for hundreds of years already has been that we don't eat the back half of an animal. That means even if the animal is a kosher animal, properly slaughtered, we don't eat the back half of an animal in order to avoid questions of chalev. Although I did see a tshuva for Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe suggests it's not specifically that there was a minig not to eat the back half of the animal. The minig is more a custom of the menachrim, who find it difficult to be menachre the back half of the animal, and therefore they avoid being menachre the back half. And he even wants to suggest that if there is no other meat available or they're ready to do it, perhaps that it should be permitted. As I said, most poskim are of the opinion that we don't eat the back half of the animal under any circumstances, although quite a number of years ago, Reb Belsky asked an interesting question to Reb Yoshev. And that is, this minig, that we don't eat the back half of the animal, perhaps it's only by behema. Because as we learned many times, only by a behema is there chalev d'oraisa. By a chaya, there is no chalev d'oraisa at all. And there are very few chayas that we eat. The only chay that sometimes we may eat is a deer. So the question is, given that the chalev on a chaya is not even a chalev d'oraisa, so perhaps the minig doesn't exist there. And Rav Yoshev indeed took a more lenient approach towards doing nikur on the back half of a kosher slaughtered deer. The issue, of course, is, as I said a moment ago, getting all the fat out is somewhat complicated because there's so much chalev and gid all over. So says the Gemara, Gufa, Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi, Chutn Shebechelev, different threads of Chelev that go through the Chelev aren't actual Chelev, Asurim, but we don't eat them with Rabbanan, Ve'en Chayav Malayim, but if there's no, it's not considered Chelev Doraisa. Shebekoya, similarly, the Chelev in the kidneys, Asurim, are Osir, Ve'en Chayav Malayim, but they're only the Rabbanan. Lubin Koya means that in the way the kidney looks, is there's like an indentation in the kidney, and there's like a white piece of fat. Rebbe Rav Chia Chad Osir once said that that's Osir, V'chad Shari, and the other one said it's Mutar. So as Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara? Because as I said, there's this piece of fat in the kolya, and then there's like an artery, a piece of fat that extends from the kidney out. And the machlokes harishonim is when the Gemara here discusses the lumen shebekolya, what does the Gemara mean? Some rishonim say it means both the piece of fat that's in that indentation and that charitz, and the fat that comes out. Others say that it's only talking about the fat in the charitz. But that everybody, that's where we see it as a machloikis. But about the fat that extends, that piece that sticks out, everybody agrees it would be usr. Says the Gemara, Rava memartatle. Rava would completely remove all of that chalev. Rav Yoichan memartatle, and so would Rav Yoichan do. Rav Asi took a much more lenient opinion and gone like, he would just take away the upper layer of fat, but didn't go after every drop. Amar Abaya. However, comments Abaya, Kavasei the Rav Avitzi Mustabra, it's appropriate to follow Rav Asi's opinion. Don Rav Av, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Shmuel, Chelev, Shabosr chayf oisoy, the fat that's covered by meat, mutter. Most Rishonim say Shabosr chayf oisoy is mutter midaraisa, but not midrabonin. Alma, so what do we see from here? Sh'alak solom amrachmana, only the fat that's actually draping over the flank of the animal is osam midaraisa, v'loy shabatoychak solom, but not the fat that's in the flank. Hachinami, when the Torah says that the fat on top of the kidneys is osur, it only means sh'ala kloyus amrachmana, the fat that's on top of the kidney, v'loy shabatoycha kloyus. Machloikus rishonim, why is chaylev shabosur choyfa yisoy, chaylev that's the meat covers the chaylev, mutter, midaraisa. So I saw two approaches in the rishonim. One approach the rishonim suggests is that we know, we've said it many times, that when we bring a carbon, what has to be burnt on the Mizbeach? The chaylev has to be put on the Mizbeach. So the Rishonim suggests only what's considered chaylev when it comes to be burnt as part of a carbon is chaylev d'oraisa that we may not eat. And therefore the chaylev that's under the basar is not part of the chaylev that the Torah identifies should be burnt as part of a carbon. And since it's not part of the chaylev that's identified, should be burnt as the carbon, doesn't have the halacha that it's osur. That's some Rishonim's approach. Other Rishonim take a different approach altogether. Because the truth is, when you look, the Ramban takes this approach. When you look at, the first approach was the Urayim. When you look at an animal, there's a lot of fat in the body of the animal, inside the animal. But certainly not all fat is osur to be eaten. We know that when we get a piece of meat, there's sometimes fat on it. Of course not. There are two types of fat. There's what's called chaylev, and there's what's called shumen. And the Torah only asked that only prohibited chaylev, not shumen. There are different characteristics that we've learned and will learn what is considered chaylev and what is considered shumen. Gufa, continues the Gemara, Omer of Abba, Omer of Yehuda, Mishmul, chaylev, shabosa, choyfaisoi, fat that's covered by meat, mutter, is not osam midaraisa. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this correct? Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Yehuda, Mishmul, Haitarba, the Tuse Masni, you have fat that's under the loins, and it's osur. Now the question is, given that we just learned that any fat that's covered by meat is not considered chaylev, so why did he say that the fat that's under the loins is osur? Answers the Gemara, Amr Abaya, Behemi b'chaya prukim Africa. Yes, after you slaughter, this is what the Mefarshim explained the Gemara. After you slaughter an animal, and it's hanging, and you look at the loins, it looks like the meat is on top of the fat. But while the animal is alive and it's walking, sometimes the fat and the meat separate from each other, and the fat is completely exposed. And therefore, that fat is considered chaylev. Again, most Rishonim take the opinion that's only chaylev midrabanan. It's not chaylev d'oraisa. It's machlokes Rishonim. Most say it's chaylev d'oraisa, the rabbanan. And the Gemara continues, Om Reb Yoichnan, Ano laf tafchano, I am neither a butcher, v'la bar tafchano, nor the son of a butcher, v'nehira, the hachi have amri be midrasha, but I remembered that we learned in yeshiva, behema b'chaya peruki mefarka, and that's why that fat ought not to be eaten. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, Rav Yochanan wants to report to us that the fat that's by the loins should not be eaten. But why does he have to give this introduction that he's not a butcher, nor was his father a butcher? What does that have to do with the halacha? So Mefarshim say, Rav Yochanan is making the point that we made, that this meat is only usur mid the rabbonim. Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying is like this. The truth of the matter is, he says, if you look at it, as we said, when it's hanging, the meat covers the fat. But for that, you have to be a butcher and know how it looks when it's hanging versus how it looks when it's alive. So a person who's a butcher and knows that after it's dead and it's hanging that way, knows that the meat is on top of the fat, and therefore, as we've been learning, when the meat is on top of the fat, it's not a problem, indeed would understand why it's not osur. But most people don't know that. Many people know that when it's alive, the fat isn't covering, the meat isn't covering the fat. And therefore, because just like I, Rabbi Yochanan, I'm neither a butcher nor the son of a butcher, so are most people not butchers nor the sons of butchers. And that's why he says, Chazal said not to eat it. We've learned earlier in Amasechta that an animal has four, a kosher animal has four stomachs. First, the food goes into the hemsis. No, first it goes into the first stomach. Then it goes to the hemsis. Then it goes to the base hakoisis, I mean. It's regurgitated from the base hakoisis to the mouth of the animal. That's what we know as chewing the cud, malagera. From there, after it's properly chewed up, it goes into the third stomach, which is the hemsis. And from there, it goes to the fourth stomach, which is the keva. Says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Amar of Yehuda, Mishmu, Chelev shal hemsis or beis hakoisis, the fat that's by the opening of the hemsis and the beis hakoisis, as the food travels, asurim, are asur, v'onish karish, if somebody chas v'shalom eats that chelev, it's a chiv karish, and that is what the Torah speaks about when it speaks about chelev shal akarev. And this is very much in line with what I said earlier in the shir. Because the halacha is that when you bring a carbon, the Torah says you should bring on the mizbeach the chelev shel hakerev. And we said earlier in the shir that whatever is considered chelev as far as being what's brought on as part of a carbon is chelev deraisa. So since the Torah says that chelev shel hakerev should be offered on the mizbeach, and this is the chelev shel hakerev, that's why this chelev is awesome deraisa. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmu, Hai Tarba de Klubusasa. The way most Mepharshim explain is that there's a bone that extends from the end of the spine of an animal under the hips. Says the Gemara, Hai Tarba, that's the Klubusasa, and the fat that's on top of that bone, Osir, again, is Osir Medaraisa, V'onish Karis, and if somebody eats it as a Chiv Karis, V'zeh chelev shel ksalim. And that's what the Torah speaks about chelev al ksalim. V'amar Rav Abba Amar Yehuda Mishmu, chutn shebiyad asur. Just to quickly describe the arm of an animal. Like when we spoke about the animal's back leg, the animal's front leg also, which is the hands, has three bones to it, and the two bottom bones are called the umtza, and the top bone is called the zroya. You always know the arm is called the zroya, and on top of the zroya is the kasef. The kasef is the shoulder. Says the Gemara, chut nishbiyad, there are different veins going through the hand, asur, and those veins are also to be eaten. Most Rishonim, as I said, say that this is only Midrabonim. Furthermore, a very big machloikus Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean when it says chutin shebiyad? Poshut pshat, it means the chutin in the shoulder. But there are Rishonim that say that it's not only the chutin in the shoulder, but even the chutin that extend down the whole leg or part of the leg of the animal are awesome. Amr Safra, Moshe. Two pshatim in Moshe. One pshat is that whenever somebody was addressed who was a Talmud Chacham, he was called Moshe from the name Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're such a big Talmud Chacham, how could you make such a difficult statement? Another explanation is that Moshe is the way they express the shvua. And he's making a shvua, he's swearing that what you said is incorrect. Mi amar Rachmana. This is regular meat. And how could you say that this is prohibited? Of course we're allowed to eat regular meat. Does the Torah allow us to eat blood? And what he's saying is that indeed, these chutin, unlike the different cases that we were discussing in today's shir, are not chalif, but the issue here is that these are blood vessels. And therefore, chatchei, if you cut them and you salt them, And that's how you get the blood out. Afilo kedei renami shapir, you could then cook them. Because if you do proper melicha, it gets the blood out of these veins. Over here we find a very important machloikas. As we know, and we'll see it explicitly later in the shir, Mirza Hashem, that there are really two ways how to remove, we know that you're not allowed to eat dam, you're not allowed to eat the blood. It's a very serious issue. There are two ways how to remove blood from an animal. The most conventional way is with salting. And our Gemara is clearly teaching us that when you salt it, it's just not enough to salt it. You have to chatcha, you have to cut it open, because you have to give a place for the blood to escape. The other way of letting blood out, of getting the blood out of the animal, is through tzliya, which is roasting. And the Gemara is going to explain it's not putting the animal on the fire, but putting a fire under the animal, and the fire draws out the blood. What we have here is a machloikas rishonim. If when you do tzliya, is the requirement for chatche to make cuts in the meat also required? Some rishonim bring a raya from this Gemara that it's required, because our Gemara is saying the chatche, you have to cut it. So it doesn't seem to make a difference if you're salting it or roasting it, you always have to cut it. On the other hand, the Gemara is saying malchis, maybe only by salting. So it's a very big machloikis if cutting is required when you do roasting. Amar Yehuda Mishmu, we go back to Chalif, Reish Maya Ba'amtsabai Greira. We spoke earlier about the four stomachs of the animal. And what happens is that the animal, after the food leaves the keva, it goes to the intestines. The intestines are the dakin. But it goes through a tube from the as it reaches the intestines. That tube is called Reish Maya. And the Gemara is saying that the first amma, after it leaves the stomach on its way to the intestines, the fat there is chel of the raisa, boy greira, that fat needs to be scraped off, v'zeh chel of shaladakin, that's what's called chel of shaladakin. V'am Rav Yehuda, chutin sheba'ukitz, the chutin that we find by the tail, this is all the way by the tail, asurin. Says the Gemara, chamsha chutin isbe b'kafla. Says the Gemara, there are five chutin by the flank. Tlosim yamina, there are three on the right side of the flank. V'tartim smoila, and two on the left side. Says the Gemara, tlosa, the three maftsli latrei trei. Each one of those chutin branch off into two branches. Trei, and the two, which are on the left side, maftsla, the tlosa, tlosa, branch off into three. Says the Gemara, nafkamina, why do we need to know this? Says the Gemara, the ish shalaflu ad dechamimi, if you remove these chutin from the animal right after the shechita, when the animal is still warm, so you could just pull them out. Mishtalfa. Viloi, but if you wait until the animal cools off, and therefore it takes much more effort to remove the chutin, boy chatuti basrai, we have to completely remove them. And as the Mefarshim explained, so what the Gemara is teaching us is, so now that you didn't just pull them out because you waited too long, so how do you know that you did the job right? If you see that you got out five chutin, and three of them branched off into two, and two of them branched off into three, and you got all the branches, now you know that you did it right. As I said at the beginning of the shit, these are parts of the animal that we don't eat because they're all in the back half of the animal. There are five chutin in the animal. Tlosa, three of them the concern is tarba because of chalif, the train, and two of them the concern is dama, blood. The tachli, which is by the spleen, or the kafli, which is by the flank, or the koyus, by the kidney, we spoke about them at the beginning of the shir, there chutin are also mishum tarba. The yoda, the one that's by the hand, or the loy, which are by the cheek, mishum dama. As I will speak about later, actually, by the neck of the animal, we will learn that there are four chutim. There are two thinner ones, and there are two thicker ones. The two thicker ones are known as the veridin. And if you remember, when we learned earlier in the Masechta, when we spoke about Hilchos Shechita, Amar Rav Yehuda said that when you shecht an animal, you should also shecht the veridin. These veins that we're speaking about now are not the veridin. They're called the delua, which are thinner veins. I saw in the Sefer Sichas Chulin, interesting, he says, so we see that there are a total of four veins, or four arteries, the two veridin and the two delua. He says, the thicker arteries, the thicker veins, bring the blood from the top of the body to the heart. The thinner veins take the blood from the heart to the brain. That's what I saw, he says. Says the Gemara, so again, we saw that there are five chutin. Three are also because of chaylev, and two are also because of dam. Says the Gemara, lamai nafkamina. Why do we need to know this? Says the Gemara, hani mishum dama. Those that are also because of dam, if you cut them, if the whole problem is dam, so as we learned earlier, there's ways of expelling the dam. Shapir, and therefore you could eat them. Hanach, but the ones that are also because of chaylev less than the kanta, there's nothing we could do about it. Amrav kahana, v'tem Rav Yehuda. Chamisha karmahava. There are five organs, the five parts on the animal that have membranes. Tlosa, three of those membranes are also mishum tarba because of chaylev. The tray, and two of those membranes are also mishum dama because of dam. Says the Gemara, the tachli, the membrane by the spleen, the kafli by the flank, or the koyusa by the kidneys, mishum tarba, are also because of chaylev. The bayi, the membrane around the testicles, or the mukra, and the membrane around the brain, mishum dama, is because of dam. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda bar Oishia, have a kakolafle tachlef lelevi brei Rav Huna bar Chia. Have a kakolafle tachlef lelevi brei Rav Huna bar Chia. Have kagamle miloi. And all he did as he was taking off this membrane is he only took off the upper level, the two layers of membrane, and he only took off the upper level of the membrane. Amalei, chuspei tfei. It's not enough. You have to take off both membranes. Osavua ashkechei. So, he met his father, and I'm going to explain this more in a moment. Hachlei amavu damvich mishmun derav. This is what I heard from your grandfather, who was Rabbi Yimri ba'abba. You reported in the name of Rav. Le'osu taira. El Shaladad Bavad. The way it looks, when you look at the spleen, so you have the spleen, and at the head of the spleen is thicker on one end and thinner on the other end. And he said that the only place you have to take off the fat is from the thicker part, Shaladad. Said, Layas Rutar El Shaladad Bavad. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true? Vamarav Mununa Tana. Krum shal tchul osur. The krum that's on the spleen is osur. Vein chayav nalof. But it's only osur mid rabbana, not mid raisa. So now he analyzes what the statement was. Hey chidami, exactly what did he mean? Ilema shal adad. If he meant the chaylev that's on the thick part of the spleen, amai ein chayav nalof. Why aren't you chayav? That's chaylev de raisa. Ela de kule. But he must meant to say that the entire spleen, even though it's not chaylev deraisa, all of the layer, all of the membrane should be removed. Amalei, so he gave in, and he said, Itanya, Tanya. If that's what we learned, that you have to remove the entire membrane, so be it. Says the Gemara, Amrav Hamnuna Tana, Krum Shalatchol, the membrane that's on the spleen, Osir, Vein Chayav Nalof, Krum Shal Gabakulya, on the kidney, Osir, Vein Chayav Nalof. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? V'tanya, have we not learned another braisa, the chayav nalof, that the chaylev by the kidney and by the spleen is also medaraisa? Answers the Gemara, t'chol at'chol loikasha, the way we can reconcile the two braisas regarding the spleen, hok negredad, the fat on the thicker part of the spleen is osma deraisa hosh loika negradad. The part that's not on the thicker part is only osma deraisa. Koya, koya loikasha, habi lo, habitata. There are two layers of membrane. The upper layer is chel of deraisa. The lower layer is not chel of deraisa, it's only the rabbonim. Be'ech shilta, which means the testicles of an animal that are mostly disconnected from the animal. They're just hanging on by a thread. Rav Amir of Asi was a subject of Machloikas of Rav Amir of Asi. Chad Osir v'chad Shori. One said that they're Osir and one said they're Mutter. Says Mara, Man the Osir, the one that held that they were Osir, said so, Mendeloi Kabarian, since they can't regenerate, they can't get well again, Hani Eva Menachai Nenu. They're in the category of Eva Menachai. Just to review the halacha. The halacha is that any part of an animal that gets disconnected from the animal before shechit of the animal is in the category of Eva Menachai. And Eva Menachai, no one's allowed to eat, even Akum, even Goyim. Certainly we may not eat it. So he said that these testicles, since they're so disconnected that they can't get healthy again, therefore they're considered in the category of Eva Menachai. Amanda Shari, and the one that held that their mutter, Midakaloi Masrachan, since we see that they don't decay and they don't begin to emit a foul odor, Kani Iski Chiyusvesuhu, it's proof that they're still part of the animal. Vidach, and the other man, the Amid, that holds that they're Usr, isn't the fact that they're not decaying a very strong Raya, that they're still part of the animal. He says, Haida Lakai Misrachan, this that they don't decay, like a shalat by avira, because it's completely enclosed in the sac, and that's why there's no ear, so that prevents the decay. But they're still not part of the animal. Vidach, had liberian, the fact that we see they don't regenerate, kichushta hu the nakat lhu, it's only considered that it's weak. Most rishonim are of the opinion that when we speak about these bayim that are mostly disconnected, and the mandam that holds its osa because it's evim menachai, holds it's not osa medaraisa, it's only osa medrabonim. The Rambam actually holds that it's osa medaraisa. Furthermore, I saw that the Mefarshim asked that we learned earlier in the Masechta a number of times that evarim hamuduldolim, organs, limbs of the animal that are just hanging on to the animal by thread, by very flimsy, everybody agrees is osur. So they ask, why is there a machloik? And everybody disagrees with that halacha. So they ask, why over here by these testicles that are the same way do we find a machloikus? So they say a very posh the teretz. By evarim hamdudolim, and this is a ride that it's all the rabbonim, because evarim hamdudolim is also only the rabbonim. By evarim hamdudolim, so the average person looking at these evarim looks like it's disconnected. And therefore, if we're going to allow him to eat the Evarim HaMedudalim, Chazal were concerned that he chas v'shalom will come to eat Evarim Menachai, and Evarim Menachai, we know, is Asur. However, these Bayim are still in the sack. So even if they're indeed disconnected, you and I don't see that they're disconnected. And therefore there is no reason to be concerned that if you're going to come to eat these Bayim, you're going to come to eat Evarim Menachai, and that's why he held its mutter. The other man, Dhamma, said, we don't differentiate. Says the Gemara, Omle Rav Yochanan Rav Shemin ben Abba, Hai Be'ich HaShilta, these Be'im that we're discussing that are mostly disconnected, Sharyan, are really halachically permitted to be eaten. However, V'at Lo Teichel, you, I'm saying you shouldn't eat it, V'shun V'al Titoish Taurus Imecha, our meaning is not to eat it. So I saw, the Rambam has a very interesting way of explaining this Gemara. The Rambam's way of explaining the Gemara is that the minig in Bavel, which they were, was not to eat these beya. And he says, since all Jews, even the ones that live in other places now, even in Eretz Yisrael, all were in Bavel and Golis. So what the Gemara is trying to say is that everybody has the minig not to eat them. But most Rishonim don't learn the Gemara like the Rambam. And they're saying, the pshat is that our minig, he was saying to him, was not to ease these bays shelter, and you have the obligation to follow the minhag. However, what it is an interesting machlokes rishonim, and it's not only in this subject, which is not that relevant to us, but it does come up in other shilas, which are obviously much more relevant, and that is, how far does that go? That we're learning al tita ishtari simecha, you have to follow your minhag. Again, in our world, it's not that much of a question, because we don't live in a world that communities have minhagim. We live in a world that families have minhagim. But it used to be that communities had minhagim. So the question is, how far do you have to take al tita ishtari simecha? And there are a number of opinions of the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that even he was saying to him, if you move from Bavel and you move to a community that minig is to eat it, you still have to follow your family's minig. Others say, no, that if he moves permanently away, he follows his new community. What he was saying to him was that only if you move without the intention of moving back. But if it's Dato Lachser, you move, let's say, to Eretz Yisrael, and let's say in Eretz Yisrael they had a different minig, but your intention is to come back to Bavel, you have to continue following that minig. And the third pshat is that he was saying that when you're in Bavel, you have to follow minig Bavel. Indeed, when you'll be elsewhere, you don't have to follow that minig. When you're going to come back here, you have to come back to that minig. Amar Mabar of Ashi, Hani Beyed the Gadya, the Beim of a goat. And as Machloikis Rishonim, a goat we know is a Behemadaka, a Shor, a Pora, a Behemadasa. And the Rishonim debate, the halacha that we're about to learn, is it limited only to a Behem Medaka, or is the same halacha apply by Behem Megasa? The Gemara just mentioned the Behem Medaka, but the halacha wouldn't be different. As I said, it's Machlokes Rishonim. Atlas and Yomim, up before the animal's 30 days old, Sharyin B'loi Klipa. It's mutter to be eaten without taking off the outer membrane. There's nothing to be concerned about. Mikan V'Elech, after 30 days, E-Azrin, if these Beim already produce semen, Asurim, they may not be eaten without taking off the outer membrane, because we're concerned that there's dam on that outer membrane. V'loi Azrin, but if they aren't yet producing semen, Sharim. Ask the Gemara, Menoy Yedinen, how do we know if it produces semen or not? Says the Gemara, E-Espe Shiraikis Sumki, if it has red lines in it, Asurim, Lespe Shiraikis Sirim, Less by Shuraikis Sumke Sharim. Machlokes Rishonim as well. What happens if you have these Beim, they're not 30 days old yet, the animal isn't yet 30 days old, but already has Shuraikis Sumke? Do we say the fact that it has Shuraikis Sumke, it's a rai that it should be Osir? Or do we say that as long as it's not 30 days old, it's always Mutter? Umtsi, which is pieces of meat, Bei, which are the Beim, Umizriki. Here we speak about the Veridim. I told you we would speak about the Veridim later in the Shir. Here we're speaking about the Veridim. Says the Gemara, Pligbar of Acha Ravina, are the subject of a Machloikus of Acha Ravina. And the Gemara makes an interesting comment. B'chol HaTor Kula, normally, Ravina L'Kula, Rav Acha L'Chumra. When they have a Machloikus Ravina Rav Acha, Ravina is the Mekel, and Rav Acha is the Machmer. V'rochus of Ravina Lakula, and we typically follow Ravina's lenient opinion. Levamahani Tlas, except in these three situations, we hear the Rav Acha Lakula. Rav Acha takes a lenient opinion. Ravina Chumra Ravina takes a stricter opinion. Virchus of Rav Acha Lakula. Says the Gemara Umtsa de Atznik. This is a little more of a relevant question. You have a piece of meat, and the piece of meat has real dark red spots. This way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. This way we're going to learn the Gemara. What do these dark red spots represent? What they represent is that blood vessels in that piece of meat ruptured. So now we have a coagulation of blood. And the question is, what should we do? That's the way most Rishonim learn. There are Rishonim, we're not going to learn the Gemara that way, but just to mention this pshat, that says it's talking about a piece of meat that before you took out the salt from the meat, you put that meat into vinegar. And what that causes is that the vinegar, that the salt should get concentrated in the meat, and that's why the Gemara is concerned, how do you get that salt out? We're very machmer not to put meat into anything, certainly anything sharp, before you do the salting, because because we're concerned once you would do that, there's no way that we know how to get the salt out. So the halacha is talking about a piece of meat that got red because it has these blood vessels that ruptured. Chotcha umolcha, if you make cuts in it and you salt it, afilu k'deir nami shaper. As I said earlier, that's a full-fledged kashering, and you can do anything you want with it, you could even cook it. Talyot nami b'shvuda, if you hang it up over a spit, dov dama, the blood drains out. The machloikus hapoiskim, and this is very relevant. We know, we typically don't kasher meat, take salt, get blood out with roasting. We usually do it with salting. There's only one piece of meat that we know you can't do salting, the liver. The liver has to be done over fire. The question that comes up is salting required, certainly doesn't require the full salting, but do you have to put a little salt on it? Our minig is to put on a little salt even when we're doing tzli. It's not everybody not doesn't necessarily agree that it's required. It's more of a minig. Agumi, which means the way most Rishonim explain, instead of hanging the meat over the fire, you just put it down over the fire. Pligibar of Acher Ravina is the subject of a machloikus of Acher Ravina. Charamer, Mishav Shavle, even if you let it flat down on the fire draws out the blood and it's fine. V'charamer, Mitzmas Samsele, that if the meat is just laying on the fire, it causes the blood inside to coagulate and it's asur. Says the Gemara. V'chein Beyi, and what we said regarding this umtsa, the same halacha is regarding the Beyim and Mizraki are the Veridim. Says the Gemara, just a word of introduction. The way they would get the animal, there's a lot of hair on the head of the animal. So the way they would get the hair off is they would rinse it with water. And again, you have to be very careful not to rinse it with hot water, because if you rinse it with hot water, then you can't get the blood out. And then they would put it into ash. So, says the Gemara, Reisha b'kifsa, if you put the head into this hot ash, and now you want to get out the blood, Oisvei abeis hashchita, if you open it up where it was slit, dayev dami, the blood will flow out, and it's fine. Bishari, atstadim, if you put it on the side, mikfi, kafi, then it's the blood just going to stay inside, v'asr. Oisvei nechiri, if you put it on its nostrils, if you hang it up by the nostrils, and you put something in the nostrils to keep them open, so then it's mutter, because what happens is the blood will drain out through the nostrils, viloy, but if you don't put something in, asur. Ikadamri, a different version, anachiri v'abeis ha-shchita, when you put it on the nostrils or by the base of shchita, you don't have to do anything. The blood will drain out. At studded, but if you put it on the side, not like we learned in the previous version, that there's nothing you could do here. Rather, idotbe, if you keep it open, then it's shari, filav asa. Amar Yudamar Shmuel. We go back to Giranoshim. Shnei Gidenheim. There are two actual sciatic nerves. Hapnimi samach l'etzem. Asar, v'chayoven alof, chitzin samach l'basar, asar en chayoven alof. So the way the Rishonim, there's Machlok Rishonim how to explain the difference between the Chitzin and the Pnimi. The Rashi learns the Pnimi is on the inside of the animal, Posh Pshat, and the Chitzin is on the outside. Tosfos learns the Pnimi is near the meat of the animal, and the Chitzin is not near the meat of the animal. Again, Ar Yudam Shmuel, Shni Gidin, there are two Gidin. Hapnimi samach le'etzem is osam ederaisa, chayav malof. Chitz and samach le'basar, osar, then chayav malof, it's not osar. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? But Tanya, the braisa, when it describes the pnimi, says the pnimi samach le'basar. Answers the Gemara, amar of ach, amar of kana, ikludi iklid. What it means is, it goes near the meat. That's why that braisa calls it samach le'basar. Ask the Gemara, but there's another braisa. Says the Gemara, Tanya, chitzin is samach letzim. We said the chitzin samach lebasar, and here it says samach letzim. Amar Rabbi Huda hech de pari, where the butchers would take hech de pari tafchi, where the butchers normally would open up the thigh of the animal. That's where the gira chitzin starts. Says the Gemara, itmar tabach shenimtza chel v'achrof. You have a butcher, and you buy a piece of meat from him, and you find that there's chalev on the meat. So the Rishonim say that we're referring here to a situation where a butcher, which was the case in those times, would have an animal slaughtered, and then after he would have the animal slaughtered, he would have the animal slaughtered, and he would be the one to take out the chalev. And therefore, the Gemara is saying that if you see that he left chalev, we have a question of his trust. But, the Rishonim say, if it's a situation where you give him a piece of meat that you own, and you ask him to be menaker your meat, the halacha is different. Because he doesn't have any personal interest to cheat. And if something happened, it's obvious that it was just a mistake. Furthermore, we're going to learn now in the Gemara that they take a pretty serious view towards this. It's only, as we learned in our shir, there's chalev d'raisa and chalev d'rabbanan. So Rishonim say that the entire strict opinion that we're going to learn in the Gemara is only when chalev d'raisa was left, not by chalev d'rabbanan. So again, itma tabach shenimtza chalev achrof, Rav Yehuda amar b'kasayra, even if it's just the small size of a kasayra, we have a problem. Rav Yochanan amar b'kazayis, that has to be kazayis. Amar of Papa Vloy Pligi, can la koisoi, to give him Malkus, it has to be a Kazayas. La Avroy, but to have him removed from his position, there, even if it's a Sa'ira. Al Mazutra, Sa'ira, when we speak about a Sa'ira, it's even Mamakim Echot. Kazayas, it doesn't have to be one big piece of fat. I feel with Gimel Beis, with Gimel Mekoimus. And the halacha indeed is la koisoi, it has to be kazayis, la avroi, it has to be kasoira. However, there are a number of points to speak about. Certainly, the paiskim draw a distinction between somebody who did a b'shoigig versus somebody who did a b'mezid. Furthermore, the paiskim draw a distinction between if it happened one time or it happened many times. The Ramah says that if it was b'shoigig, and it didn't happen more than once, we should remove him from the position for a month. If it happened more often, then, or if it was b'mezid, we have to permanently remove him. There is a discussion also amongst the paiskim if there's a way he could ever come back. Some paiskim take a very strong position that he can never come back to this position. Furthermore, and this is very relevant, the paiskim draw a distinction between what is his position. If he has financial gain from doing this, from not doing the nikur properly. In other words, he gets, let's say he's a butcher, and he gets paid by the pound. So if there's going to be more fat left on the meat, he'll get more money. So then we have to take a stricter view. If he has less to gain, that means where he doesn't get paid by the pound, but he gets paid by the animal. Or then we could be more lenient. And it's a situation where he doesn't get paid by the animal. That means he has a salary. And he gets a salary at the end of the week no matter what, then we could even be more lenient. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said, the butchers were not trusted. First they weren't trusted, and then we said that we could trust them. Ask the Gemara, Amr of Nachman, Achshadari, we know that things don't get better necessarily. And here it seems that people got more reliable. Says the Gemara, Mikara, to have a Sarvali Kremeya, at the beginning, when they held that Alok is like Remeyer, where you have to completely be Mechateit, we have to take out the Gid all the way, you have to completely root it out. So that we can't trust that they're going to do such a hard job. Lipsoif, Savri Krim Yehuda, that you don't have to do chitut, just removing it. That's not so difficult, and they could be trusted. Ikad Masloi. Others say that this Gemara goes on the Sefer. The Sefer says, V'chachama amir neman alav ala chelev, amir av chibar abba amir av yoichan, chazer loy me'en amonim. That first they were reliable, but unfortunately later they said that they're not reliable. Amir av Nachman, however comments of Nachman, b'zman hazeh, nowadays namonim. Ask the Gemara, ach shidari, the people get better. Says the one Makaru saw Rabbi Yehuda. First they held like Rabbi Yehuda, where you don't have to completely root out the Giranasha, and that's why we could trust them. Had Savru Kremeya. And then they passed like Kremeya. So says the Gemara, Kam David Chira led Rabbi Yehuda. As long as there were people, interesting Gemara, as long as there were people that remembered that they were, that we passed like Rabbi Yehuda, so they said, we're not going to go through the difficulty of rooting it out. We can have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. However, and therefore, we can't trust them that they're doing like they were supposed to do, like Rabbi Meir said. V'hashdin and shul ad Rabbi Yehuda, but now that they forgot Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the butchers only know that the only way of removing chayla, the removing the git, is with chitut, they do what they're supposed to do. V'al chaylev, chaylev man d'char shmei, ask the Gemara, Amish is talking about the Giranasha. How does the chaylev get in here? Says the Mahakam, ein amonim ala lov ala chaylev. Ramey's opinion is that we don't trust the butchers, not on the Giranasha, nor on the Chalev, because again, as we could appreciate after the Ashir, removing the Chalev is difficult. Chamamim, the Manam Lavel Chalev, we can't trust them on the Giranasha and on the Chalev.